do. I work in Washington, D.C., and I'm working with members of Congress and their offices on the Farm Bill. So I'm trying to take the scientific facts and data and the perceptions not only from the scientific researchers but also from the farmers and translate that to the policymakers in Washington, D.C. So the Organic Farming Research Foundation, our mission is to foster and improve widespread adoption of organic farming systems, and we're a farmer-driven organization. So we have, our board is made up of organic farmers, and we're talking to organic farmers about their research needs and their policies that can help them continue to grow organically and continue to grow their business and continue to do what they need to do to support a healthy and sustainable ecosystem on their farms. And so we're working to ensure that organic farming is the leading form of agriculture, and it provides healthy ecosystems, healthy people, and economic opportunity, because at the end of the day, all the farmers always remind me that even though they have a mission, they have a vision for what they're doing on the farm, they're also in business. So economies is also part of this issue. So what Organic Farming Research Foundation does to support research is we fund. So if any of you are organic researchers that are looking for funding, we have a request for proposal out right now, and we fund organic research. We saw a need that the USDA was not doing enough to fund organic research, so we started doing it. Lately, we've been focusing on disease and pests and also weed and soil health. And that's one of our biggest issues, and that's actually one of our board members who's a farmer in upstate New York. So we work in three different areas. Research is the key one. We're working on identifying challenges that are facing organic farmers. We do surveys, we do listening sessions, we talk to them, and then we're funding the research that helps to make sure that their research needs are being met. All our research is available on ofrf.org if you're interested in any of our organic research. We also do education. We work to educate farmers, we work to educate policymakers, we work to educate and talk to university researchers to relay what the farmers' needs are, and we also work to educate the general public. And I got to work on the policy, so I'm advocating for programs that support organic research and sustainable agriculture across the board. So the Farm Bill, that's the big thing that's happening right now in Washington, D.C. We heard a little bit about it from Marcia's talk, but the Farm Bill is the last Farm Bill passed in 2014 was a $489 billion omnibus spending bill. So the United States government takes your tax dollars, $489 billion of them, and spreads them out across a variety of titles, and we'll get into that a little bit. But it involves politics, policies, programs, and funding, all wrapped into one. It happens every 5 years, and it covers almost everything. Anything that touches food, nutrition, it touches most of those things. So the way that it works, and this is where I'm involved, and this is where theoretically any of you can be involved if you're interested in getting involved in the politics and policies around the Farm Bill. So right now, it's in agriculture committees. The Senate and the House are discussing behind the scenes what's going to be in this Farm Bill. And so that's where they need to hear from their constituents. They need to hear from people that are concerned about what's happening in the Farm Bill, a way to improve what was in the previous Farm Bill, what can be done better. So I'm going and talking to the agriculture committees about organic agriculture and organic research on a regular basis. But that's the way that anyone can get involved. The Tri-Societies has two fine folks in Washington, D.C. that also are talking to the members of the agriculture committee, saying these are important issues for our members, these are important issues in soil health, these are the important issues in crop science that we're seeing and hearing. So that's the first step, and that's happening right now. The agriculture committees, they're writing it, they're drafting it right now. And so if you're interested in getting involved, talk to them, make a call. Call your member of Congress, your senator, and let them know the issue that you care about, because they're drafting it right now. If you're not talking to them yet, it's going to be too late. Then it goes to the floor of Congress. So Congress gets it and they vote on it. Both the House and the Senate vote on the Farm Bill. They decide if they like it or don't. If they vote on it and they both pass their own version, it goes to conference, which means the House of Representatives and the Senate, they have different versions. It has to go to conference committee where they negotiate back and forth behind closed doors on which of the two versions is going to come forward or how they're going to amend and change those two versions. Then they get kicked back to the House floor of both the House and the Senate. And then if they pass both of those, then they go to the president for signing. So we're in this process right now, just at the very beginning, but it expires in 2018. So there's the hope across the country that the Farm Bill will get done and get passed, because there's a lot of key programs that will lose funding if the Farm Bill isn't passed or if there's not an extension by September of 2018. So like Marcia said earlier, there's 12 titles in the Farm Bill. They cover a whole host of things. Commodity, you can read them all, they're all up there. The one that I focus on, the one that is relevant to I think most of us here, is the Research and Extension, Title VII. So that funds a lot of the USDA research, a lot of the mandatory research funding, the dollars in key programs are in that research title, and also the way that the program works, especially in the research, are also in the research title. A lot of USDA research programs are flushed out in research title. So, I mean, a quick overview, there's a lot of things. The Farm Bill, like Marcia said, is almost 400 pages. There's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of programs. So things like commodities, crop insurance, conservation, ag, hunger, research, trade. But there's a lot of food and agriculture issues that aren't in the Farm Bill. Workers' rights, grazing land, water rights, food safety, taxes, GMO labeling issues, those aren't in the Farm Bill. So while the Farm Bill is an omnibus spending bill that covers the vast majority of our food and agriculture system, there are a few key components, labor being one of the ones that's most pressing at this point that just isn't in the Farm Bill, or wasn't in the last Farm Bill. They're working on it now, so we'll see what happens. So to be in the Farm Bill, all the programs that are in the Farm Bill mean that there's the policy. The policy is written and authorized. That does not necessarily mean that there's funding, but it means that the policies are written and they're in there. So that defines who is eligible, what the program is, what the definitions are, what the priorities of the program are, and then the funding. So sometimes there's mandatory funding in the Farm Bill, which means that the Congress has money for the programs. Other times it's discretionary funding, which means there may or may not be money coming. So mandatory funding is that there is money that is dedicated for that program. The program that I work on, the Organic Research and Extension Initiative, is a mandatory funded program. So that means that there's a dollar amount in the Farm Bill that comes every year to the USDA to dole out for organic research. There's also discretionary funding, which is funding that isn't really there. It's kind of like monopoly money. It's the members of Congress on the Agriculture Committee saying, we have this great program, we want it to be funded, but we don't have the funding to do it through the Agriculture Committee. We're going to kick it to the Appropriations Committee. The Appropriations Committee is the one that meets every year to determine what key programs get funding. So there's an Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee, and they make a determination on an annual basis how much money each of these programs get. So AFRI, the largest one, the Ag and Food Research Initiative at the USDA, is an annual appropriated research program. So it's varied. I've got a graph that we'll look at in a little bit, but it varies year to year how much money is in those research programs. So as researchers, that makes it a little challenging because the pool of money that you theoretically can be drawing from is changing year after year. So that's another way to get involved. And I know that Carl at the Tri-Societies gets involved in the appropriations process on a regular basis, discussing with members of Congress who are part of the Agricultural Appropriations Subcommittee the importance of different programs and the funding levels that we as researchers like to see in those programs. So the Farm Bill, we talked about, Marcia had this slide up, but how the pie is sliced. $489 billion, that's over 5 years. The bulk of it goes to nutrition, and that's the SNAP program, food stamps, food for food insecure people and communities, and the Women, Infants, and Children's program. So that's another program that people in the United States can enroll in to get access to food. So that's where the vast, vast majority of this funding goes to, is to help hungry people in the United States have access to food. So there's a little bit, I mean, we see these other little portions, crop insurance, commodity payments, conservation payments. 1%, the other 1% is where research is. It's 1% of $489 billion is a lot of money, a lot more than I make, but it's a little bit compared to what's happening in the Farm Bill. So those programs, that 1%, are also sliced up into trade subsidy, energy, things like that. So research is only a little bit of the overall spending of the Farm Bill, even though it's millions and millions of dollars that fund research at land-grant universities and institutions around the country. It's only a little bit of the larger Farm Bill, but there's still a need to get involved to discuss research in the Farm Bill. Since 1977, the USDA has been funding research through both competitive and non-competitive grants, as well as capacity funds that go to land-grant universities. So there's a variety of different ways that research is funded in the Farm Bill. I mean, I don't know all of the programs, there's a lot of them, but here's just a few examples. The Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research was was funded in the 2014 Farm Bill as a public-private partnership. So they got $200 million in the Farm Bill to work on public-private partnerships with research, and they're here, they're having a meeting in the Marriott. I'm going to go crash that later and see what they're going to talk about. So here's a little bit of a graph that shows some of the key programs in the USDA that fund research. So the AFRI program, the Agriculture, Food, and Research Initiative, that's the biggest one. That's the flagship ag and food research program in the Farm Bill. And that's, you can see it's gone up and up and up from 2000 to 2016. That's in appropriation. So each year, members of the research community are talking and saying, this is important. This research portfolio you have here is important. There's six priorities. And they're overall important. We need more funding for research. We need more funding. And so the AFRI program has been one of the key research programs. It's a competitive grants program. The SCRI, the next bar, is a specialty crop research initiative. So that's focusing on specialty crops, vegetables, what and that has mandatory funding in the Farm Bill. So starting in 2014, there's $80 million a year that go to fund specialty crop research on vegetables. OREI, the organic one that I work on, as you can see, has $20 million in mandatory funding in the Farm Bill. So because organics has grown and grown, we're working to grow the amount of organic research funding in the Farm Bill. So I'll run through this quickly. This is the research that my organization did, the Organic Farming Research Foundation. So we surveyed organic farmers around the country. There's about 24,000 certified organic operations in the U.S. We got about a response rate of about 3,000. So not bad. We emailed them, we called them, we bothered them. We said, what are your research needs? What are the challenges that you guys are facing? So the comprehensive analysis of all the challenges that are being faced by farmers, because we are a farmer-driven organization. We want to know what your issues are. What are you seeing on the farm? What are the challenges? Because then we're going to take that information and go to the USDA and say, these are the priority areas in organic that we want you to focus on. And then we also take it to members of Congress and say, this is what's happening in your state. This is what's happening in your district. These are the problems that people are having with pigweed or with Johnson grass. These are the issues, and these are the levers that we need to focus on for additional research. Methodology, good, it's very exciting. We surveyed a bunch of folks. We had some listening sessions. And then we also, the National Organic Standards Board meets, and they twice a year they have research priorities, and we also integrate their research priorities into our national research agenda. They're meeting in Jacksonville, Florida next week, and I get to go talk to them. Should be exciting. So our priority areas, out of all the farmers that we talked to, the key priority areas that identified are soil health, fertility management, weed management, nutritional benefits, insect management, and disease management. I mean, these are things that farmers are facing all the time. They want to know what the weed issues are. They want to know what disease and pest issues are. They want to know that their food that they're selling, that they're working to build soil health, they're working to grow healthy food. They want to have a marketing tool. Say, our food is, because we care about the soil, because we're taking care of the land, because we're stewards of the things that we're doing, are there increased nutritional benefits in our food? So that's one of the issues that they flagged for us. But overall, soil health was the number one response that we got. 74% identified soil health as a top research priority. And there's a wide variety of specific research needs that they identified, and it varies from region to region, but overall, soil health was far and away the biggest concern and the biggest research need that our organic farmers identified. So we took that data, we have this information from the farmers, but we also needed to review historically what the USDA has been funding in organic research. So they've been doing dedicated organic research since 2002. So we did a review of all of the specific dedicated organic research projects that were funded by USDA from 2002 through 2014 to figure out where they've been funding and what they've been funding. There was a little, we got some good information and we presented it to USDA. They weren't really aware of where they've been doing historically. So it was helpful for us to do this research. And I mean, the rationale was that 82% of American households are buying organic food at some point. Organics is now a $49 billion industry, and the organic research only makes up a small percent. So we wanted to see where the research was going, that we could have more tools to advocate for increased organic research funding in the next Farm Bill. Here's our components. This is our methodology. We reviewed all the abstracts. We did in-depth analysis. We talked to the folks. We called them up and said, what are your research? Where was it? What did you do? And then how did you get that research out there? How did you get your research from the lab out into the fields? So we can go through this quickly. I've got all this information if you'd like. It's all available on our website as well. But this is just a quick breakdown of where the funding went, what regions of the country. Most of it, as you can see, goes to the North Central. There's a hotbeds for organic agriculture in the Northeast and the West. The southern region of the U.S. has a little bit less, but I've got a better map that shows where it is. Organic research is still happening all across the country. Even though there's hotbeds in Washington State and Oregon, California, Wisconsin, Minnesota, there's organic research that's being funded by the USDA around the country, and there's organic farmers in every state in the country. So there's a research need that's been identified, and there's research that's already happening. So I took this to USDA and to Congress because they're not aware of this stuff. Members of Congress from Texas don't know that there's been almost $4 million in organic research that's been happening in Texas. So if any of you have those stories, that's one of the other things that we do is we collect those stories and say, this is what's happening. Because the numbers help one side of the story, but having the actual communication from the farmers, from the scientists about what they're working on is important, because that's the other side of the story that helps to influence policy and politics. It's not just data and numbers, it's also personal interaction and stories. So a quick run through, since I've got 1 minute, the different commodity types that organics has been funded by USDA. Most of it's crops, a little bit of crop and livestock interaction, and some poultry. Here's a breakdown of agronomic crops, corn and soybeans for the most part, are what's been funded by USDA Organics, a little bit in rice and cotton, a little bit in peanuts. So we're talking to them and saying, there's a lack of where your research is going. We need a little bit more diversity from the USDA. Specialty crops, a lot of vegetables, some tree nuts, some fruit. Just reviewing of where that was going. As you can see, livestock, a lot in dairy, not a lot in beef, not a lot in pork. So there's a lot of organic beef and pork. There just hasn't been a lot of USDA-funded research directly into that. Overall, here's the wide variety of project topics that we reviewed. A whole bunch of them focused on soil health and crops. Crop management, soil health, weed management strategies. So that's been the bulk of where USDA has been focusing, and we're continuing to ask them to do that because that's what we're hearing from our organic farmers. Oh yeah, 43 projects are integrating in holistic weed management and soil health, which was a nice thing. Out of 189, that 43 are focusing on weeds and soil health. That's what the farmers are identifying, so we're glad the USDA is continuing to do that. So overall, we've got some recommendations. We've got specific recommendations from our analysis that we're taking to USDA on livestock, public cultivars, commodities that weren't funded, soil health that wasn't funded. But what I'm doing is we need significant increase in funding for research that assists farmers adopting organic practices and enhancing environmental sustainability and economic viability of organics. So we're talking to members of Congress, asking them to increase funding for the Organic Research Extension Initiative Program. There's currently a strong bipartisan effort. We have both Republicans and Democrats that are on board. It's moving through the House of Representatives right now. I just got a Republican congressman from California to sign on to the Organic Research and Organic Agricultural Research Act. It's House Bill 2436, and it's a push to increase the organic research in the Farm Bill from $20 million in mandatory funding to $50 million. So we've got about five Republicans, we've got a whole host of Democrats in the House, we're working on it on the Senate as well. So it's moving, and it's moving right now, and there's been strong bipartisan support. So we need your help. If any of you are interested, let me know. I'd be happy to take your stories to members of Congress or work with you to talk to you about how we can best translate your stories to the members of Congress that need to hear from you, their constituents, on how they can play in the Farm Bill. So if you're interested, let me know. That's it. Thank you.
Sure. Showed the priorities.
Sure.
Soil health was the top one. Did climate change come in anywhere into that mix in the farmer survey? Or
yeah, so climate change was in the mix. And it was we had a survey and it was in there, and that was a big concern that a lot of farmers identified overall. But the way that our survey was structured and the way the questionnaire structured, I mean, we had 74% said soil health, but then about 58% also said climate change. So they were able to select every issue area that they had concerns with. So climate change was definitely an area that they were concerned with for the most part. And when we called up and talked to them and said, they said it directly impacts what they're doing. And it directly impacts not only in the long term, but in the short term. They're seeing as we've heard across the country and across the world, there's less and less predictability in weather patterns, and that's primarily the lever of where they see climate change as being a serious problem. And all of the organic farmers that I've talked to feel like they're doing their part by growing organically to increase soil organic matter, to sequester carbon in the soil, so and growing crops and growing agronomic crops. So I mean, I think you'll hear that from every farmer around the world, but organic farmers, particularly the ones that we're talking to, are saying we are doing our part, but yes, climate change is a serious issue, so it's in there. Sure.
Some of the drivers around policy in the past on these issues have been carbon. And now, since carbon prices are so low, environmental services,
mm-hmm.
whether our taxpayers are willing to pay for environmental services to drive behavioral change, which would result in greater soil health on the landscape. Well, what are the hooks that you use to talk about this stuff with folks in the Senate?
So, economics, dollars, that's what they're caring about, especially the Republican members of Congress. They care about the economy. They care about jobs. So when I go in and I start it and I go and I talk about the economic benefits and the ecosystem services and the biodiversity on organic farms and the increased importance of soil biodiversity, for the most part, I'm speaking to 22 to 26-year-old legislative assistants that don't really have a strong background in agriculture or food systems, for the most part. And they're also working on transportation, and immigration and trade and military spending. So it's got to be from a very top-line level when I'm speaking with them, for the most part. And where they where it hits home is the economics. And so organics has a good economic story to tell, just because for the most part in the U.S., organic crop prices are higher than conventional crop prices. So they hear that and their ears perk up. Saw your head picked up too and heard that. So, I mean, that's what happens. They say, I talked to an Iowa senator, and he knows the corn and soy prices for conventional, and he knows that organics is $10 to $12 a bushel higher for corn, for organic corn. So that gets their attention. And I wish I could have more discussions with them about the ecosystem services, about the carbon sequestration, about the soil health, about the benefits that organic agriculture provides. But because those issues are partisan in Washington, D.C., when I start talking about them, that closes doors, depending on what office I'm talking to. That's an awesome question. Thank you for that question. I'm not as well versed in that as I should be, but I'm going to the National Organic Standards Board meeting next week to get a little bit more understanding. So the National Organic Standards Board meets twice a year, and they're the ones that set and determine the standards for organics. So research plays a role. There's one scientist who has a seat on the National Organic Standards Board, and they are the science advisor for this board. So they play a role in ensuring that there's sound science in the standards that are constantly evolving in organics. Organics is set up as a democratic system, and it's democracy in action, which means messy. There's 15 board chairs, and they're making decisions, and then there's input from stakeholders all in all sectors. The board, the National Organic Standards Board that sets the policies, also has a research priorities that they put out. So they're asking, every year, they're asking, we need research in this. We need research in this because we don't have a full understanding. So research does play a role in the evolving standards for organics. Research can always play a better role. There needs to be more scientific understanding on the board. There needs to be more accessible science for the board members that aren't science or don't have a scientific background to be able to understand, digest, and utilize in making a decision. But there is an increased need for science to play a role in the standards of organics. And so that's one of the reasons that the USDA is funding it. That's one of the reasons why we're doing it. And yeah, follow up.
Do you know how many people on the board are scientists compared to industry or business or government?
So there's one scientific seat out of the 15. There's farmers on the board, there's industry members on the board, there's one seat, and there's three environmental seats on the board, so those environmentalists could also have scientific training and background. But there's only one person that is a dedicated scientists with a background in agronomy or ecology or crop science to be the scientific seat on the board. So that's sometimes been a challenge because it's a lot of work for them to take that to take all the research on the issues. And it's across the board. They're doing research on inputs and organics all the way to food safety to food additives. So it's beyond the scope of any one person. And that's the biggest challenge, is that the research that needed on the board is beyond the scope of one person. They can come from industry, they can come from government, they can come from university. One of our board members at the Organic Farming Research Foundation, she was on the National Organic Standards Board as a scientific seat, and she has a PhD in chemistry, and she works for General Mills. So it can come from anywhere, and as long as they're dedicated to the organic sector, that's kind of the threshold.
I have a question, actually.
You got it. I'll try to answer it as best I can.
Do you guys also fund only research, or do you also fund an organic farm that is interested in maybe implementing a new practice, and maybe it could be under the guise of research?
If it's under the guise of research, okay. That's probably fine.
Okay.
So that's not recorded, is it? So probably. So we fund on-farm organic research. So any research that we fund has to be on certified organic land. It has to involve a farmer.
Okay.
So it can be farmer-driven, or it can be university-driven. But
okay. I guess that was my question.
Yes.
Could it be farmer-driven kind of research?
Yes, it can definitely be farmer-driven.
And then my other question is, the map of all the states where there was money dedicated towards that was for organic research?
Yeah, let me go back.
What's going on with Alaska and Nevada?
So there's a couple of this is all USDA funding from the two dedicated organic research programs,
mm-hmm.
OREI and the Organic Research Extension Initiative and ORG, the Organic Transition Program. So, I mean, Oklahoma hasn't gotten any funding.
Yeah, I've seen
Louisiana, Nevada, a couple of the New England states, I don't think Connecticut's gotten any funding. So it's a competitive grants process.
Yeah.
So it really, 90% of this funding is going to land-grant universities as well.
Right.
I think it's just who's applying for it and
yeah.
in the competitive process. But that's one of the reasons why we're pushing for more funding. There's $20 million in mandatory funding every year for this project, or there will be. We'll see what happens in the next farm bill. But USDA NIFA is getting about $40 to $60 million worth of highly fundable projects submitted for the ORAI project. They just don't have the funds to do it. So that's part of the reason why there hasn't been as many as there could.
Do you know if they included the SBIR program in these numbers?
These numbers is only Organic Research Extension Initiative and only Organic Transition Program. So yeah, not specialty crop block grants.
Organic farm section under the SBIR program.
Okay. So, in a specialty crop research initiative?
No, SBIR, Small Business
Innovation. Oh, Small Business Innovation Research.
Yeah.
Oh.
There are 10 topic areas, and one of the topic areas is it's not organic. It's small and medium-scale farms.
Okay.
Which could be organic.
Right. And that's one of the things that my organization has been doing across the board is that there's other places where organic could be funded.
Mm-hmm.
And so USDA is not tracking that. So we're the ones that are going into trying to figure out where that funding is coming from. So our first thing was just to review their dedicated organic ones, but all of the other research programs has potential to be funding organics, and we've got to find out if they're doing it or not.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you for your questions.